MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Well, it's a day of aviation on this program. With the peak holiday season fast approaching, South African air travel faces some degree of challenge. The aviation industry is dealing with mounting delays, with air traffic control and infrastructure constraints being major factors. And this, you might have read, has led to disruptions. And I'm imagining increased costs for airline, as well as a frustrating experience for passengers. Joining me now is Kirby Gordon, who heads marketing at SAFAIR, about the root causes of these delays, the impact on the industry, and what steps are being taken to resolve them. Kirby, a very warm welcome. What are the key factors then behind these delays, particularly as we approach, if we haven't got there already, the busy holiday season?
Thanks, Jeremy, and thanks for the opportunity to ventilate this issue. I think it is important that we discuss it and that we all have an overview of what's happening. The key issue at the moment has to do with what are called procedures that are managed by ATNS, which is Air Traffic and Navigation Services. Now, we know ATNS is the chaps that sit in the towers and direct the traffic of aircraft in and out of an airport, but their responsibility set actually extends beyond that, in that they design standardized procedures which are specific to different aircraft types to actually approach and depart and navigate around airspaces. And these procedures are documented and they are then approved by the Civil Aviation Authority. But they're also subject to reapprovals over periods of time for safety reasons. And there's a backlog on these approvals, which means it's several of the operating procedures have been suspended. So effectively, where that renders us is in a situation where aircraft cannot legally operate into airports because the procedures have been suspended, which means that we need to either divert or cancel flights. And you know, obviously, this, as you say, leads to quite a lot of frustration.
And principal among those, East London and George, if I understand. Kirby, you talk about the backlog. How much of a problem is this due to technical shortcoming versus regulatory failing?
To be honest, Jeremy, I think, you know, ATNS would probably be best to speak to what the specific constraints are that have happened behind the scenes. What it means for us in terms of the net effect, though, is that these procedures, which are effectively regulatory requirements, they're documents that simply need to be assessed, reviewed, and then approved, are no longer there. And as you say, for us, our most specific kind of instances of effect are in East London, particularly when there is poor visibility. We've had influences in Johannesburg at OR Tambo and Runway 2 when the wind is operating from a certain direction, was coming in from a certain direction. And we've had similar visibility issues in George as well. But there are several other smaller airports that have been affected in the course of this process.
You will, of course, be concerned and have a view on what is said to be underinvestment in infrastructure, which is surely playing a role in these delays.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that there is where the story is actually quite positive, Jeremy. I mean, we understand that there's been a commitment from the government towards a certain amount of investment in the airport infrastructure over the next coming years. I think the number was, I stand to be corrected, but I think the number was $27 billion, which is well necessary and in terms of maintenance infrastructure that needs to happen there. And similarly, I imagine we see a lot of effort and a lot of focus being put into really pivotal infrastructural elements like air traffic navigation services, which is obviously needing a bit of focus at this stage, but which is certainly getting the attention of the state and of the regulators to ensure that we remain a world-class destination and a world-class space for aviation.
Kirby Gordon, when you raise this issue with ATNS, are you satisfied with the response that you're getting?
We are at this stage. What I can tell you is that they've been very transparent. They address the industry every 2 weeks. In fact, last week we were at the Airlines Association of Southern Africa's annual General Assembly in Cape Town, and they very bravely stood up to address the industry outside of their sort of news protocol that they have, which I think was quite brave in that particular instance. And the feedback is quite good. I mean, this list of procedures that has been suspended, this is the situation we're in now. It's really about dealing with it, ensuring it doesn't happen again. And it has been a long list, and there are items on that list that are being ticked off. We're given assurance that this should be set for most of the major destinations come the end of November, moving into the beginning of December, to that busy period that you spoke about. And we're positive that given the traction that we've seen and the progress we've seen to date, that will be the reality, and we'll continue to work with them to support them in whatever way we can to ensure that that is the reality.
Are you able to quantify the cost of these issues on the industry itself, and how you are absorbing or passing on those costs?
So it's difficult to do sums on all of those bases. What I can tell you is that in the last year, the number of delays, which of course, and I'm going to take the opportunity here, are very few with FlySafair, but the number of delays that we have that have been subject to air traffic navigation services issues have actually come up from about 12% in 23 to just over 26% in 24. So we've certainly seen an increase on that. And the knock-on effect of that, as you rightly point out, has to do with extra fuel from diversions, extra landing fees, et cetera, et cetera. What it means for us is that, frankly, we can't really direct the pricing in a very overt sense. What we sell is traded on a market. It's really very much the subject of supply and demand. But what it does do is it moves that point of viability. So when the costs increase this way, it reaches a certain point where it's just not worth it for us to fly anymore. And therein lies the risk for the industry and for the economy at large.
And how close are you to that point?
I think we're okay for now, Jeremy. I don't think that this is not sinking the ship by any stretch of the imagination. It's causing a lot of frustration, and I think there's a lot of work to do to overcome it. The industry is on a positive trajectory for now. I mean, I think the sentiment around the economy is strong and is looking much better, particularly over the last 2 months, and we are feeling that buoyancy. Long may it last. So hopefully that is all going to serve us well in the long run.
Just a final question. What do you make of South African Airways' assertion that it's debt-free but still needs another 3 billion rand there or thereabouts to expand its operations?
Jimmy, I'm not very familiar with the inside specifics on their finances. I mean, what we can say is that this is an incredibly difficult industry to be involved in. Our margins are so paper thin when you operate in aviation, and it's so incredibly capital intensive. Just as an industry overall, it's a space that's incredibly easy to lose a lot of money in, and quite difficult to make a small margin on. And particularly when you are contesting those big heavy routes with those very expensive large aircraft, it is a precarious position to be in. So I mean, we wish them all the best with their efforts.
I just want to squeeze one more in. I do want to come back to this ATNS issue because this is critical for passengers who are concerned about flying during this period. Is there any advice or suggestion you can give to manage expectations?
Yes, absolutely. Look, I think the first bit to that is to say, have confidence that that the bookings that you have are in place. We certainly, as an industry and certainly as an airline, will be doing everything in our power to ensure that we can fulfill the obligations that we've contracted to. And that is certainly where we'll be working very hard to ensure that we get that right. So that's the first thing that's key. But I think if you do have additional concerns, and if you need to be somewhere in the next couple of weeks with a degree of urgency, so let's say, for example, you've got a short connection on an international flight, or you've got a very important space to be in, plan conservatively. It would be advisable to ensure that you've got a longer connection gap, even arrive the day before if that's something. And particularly if you're coming from one of those regions that has been heavily affected, the likes of East London, the likes of George, I would advocate that one acts conservatively in your planning.
Kirby Gordon heads marketing at FlySafair. Thank you very much for joining me.